introduce our first speaker. Her name is Ellen Webb. And Ellen Webb is with the nonprofit Center for Environmental Health, and it's based in Oakland in New York City. I believe you're in New York City, aren't you? Yeah. And you're going to, this is really a very unconventional talk that she's going to present. We're really excited. I loved reading your abstract. So would you please welcome Ellen Webb, please.
Okay, great, thank you. Hi everyone, so happy to be here today with all of you. Today I'm going to be talking about the maternal and child health implications of unconventional oil and natural gas development. And in particular, I'm going to be talking about the reproductive and developmental health outcomes. So my colleagues and I undertook this review in order to explore the potential reproductive and developmental health effects of unconventional oil and natural gas operations and evaluate some of the potential sources of exposure as well as key chemicals of concern associated with some of these potential impacts. In particular, we review the science literature providing evidence that early life and adult exposure to chemicals associated with unconventional oil and gas operations can result in adverse reproductive health and developmental effects in humans. Because unconventional oil and natural gas operations and development is a recent phenomena, there exists relatively little peer-reviewed research. Yet there are potential health risks. The lack of research on population health effects has led to concern over, for many, what may be, you know, for present and future generations concerns, and in particular vulnerable populations, including pregnant women and children. So the literature that we did was collected from the following sources. We did peer-reviewed databases, including PubMed, Web of Science, Science Direct. We also used a number of citation databases, including the Physicians, Scientists, and Engineers for Healthy Energy. They have a citation database. And then also NYU Irvine's Medical Library and Google Scholar. So now I'm just going to go over a little outline of what I'm going to be going over today. I'll give a little introduction to unconventional oil and gas operations, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. We'll talk about the unconventional oil and gas routes of exposure, human pathways of exposure, susceptibility of children and women. We'll talk about the subset of chemicals that we focused on in this literature review, some of the health outcomes, and then some of the literature that's starting to emerge and future research and recommendations. So the United States holds large reserves of onshore natural gas and oil in many regions, including but not limited to the Barnett Shale in Texas, the Denver-Eulsburg Basin in Colorado, and the Marcellus Shale in the Northeast. Crude oil and natural gas is extracted from a variety of rock formations, including sands, coal beds, and layer of subterranean rock that's called shale. The natural gas and tight oil in these layers is called shale plays. And so here you can see is a map of the shale plays of the lower 48 states. Horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking, which many of you have heard probably, is often referred to as unconventional oil and natural gas development. Fracking is a dangerous method of natural gas extraction. It entails drilling deep into underground into shale deposits and blasting millions of gallons of water laced with sand and hundreds of toxic chemicals at high pressure to break apart the shale and release the natural gas and oil. This is not like traditional drilling, which we call conventional drilling. Conventional drilling essentially means finding a pocket of accessible gas or oil underground, drilling straight down, sucking up the gas. Fracking is a type of unconventional drilling. It's an extreme extraction technique. It's highly industrial, with each well pad requiring a large amount of land, large amounts of water, thousands of industrial truck trips. Essentially, the impacts can be enormous. We use the terms in our literature review, unconventional oil and gas development and operations, to describe what we talk about. Because we feel that this terminology encompasses the entire life cycle, which I'll show in a moment, and that includes fracking as well. So here you can see this is a diagram showing the life cycle of oil and natural gas. And as with any complex industrial process, unconventional oil and gas development and operations is a series of steps best viewed as a system. So as you can see, we have well pad and infrastructure preparation. We have the construction of the well, pipelines and facilities. We have the hydraulic fracturing, the flow back of gas and fracturing fluids. And then also there's the produced water from well completion and then subsequent connection to the well to the natural gas distribution system. So this is kind of the best way to kind of understand all the possible impacts, with hydraulic fracturing being a high majority of those impacts. So here, this is a picture of a frack job in process. So this is just one area that's being fracked. And so you can just see in this one picture here how much industrial equipment is being used. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the routes of exposure by which the environment around unconventional oil and gas sites can become contaminated. So we have two potential routes of exposure, water and air. Unconventional oil and gas operations can contaminate both surface and groundwater. Routes of contamination can include spills during transport to and from the well pads, injection of fluids, those include the hydraulic fracturing fluids, failure of cement well casings, and also improper treatment and disposal of wastewater. The other potential route is air. We have, you know, there's truck diesel. The diesel truck exhaust emissions from drilling rigs, pumps, to the chemicals released from natural gas wells. Oil and natural gas production in general processes and contributes enormous amounts of contaminants into the air, resulting in elevated concentrations of hydrocarbons, methane, ozone, nitrogen oxides, volatile organic compounds, including BTEX, as well as a number of other ones as well. So it's important to think that, you know, a cluster of wells located in a very small area can actually lead to significant accumulation of volatile organic compounds in the surrounding air. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about the human pathways of exposure and human and animal exposure. So human and animal exposure to unconventional oil and gas operations can occur through oral routes such as eating and drinking contaminated water, through dermal routes such as cleaning and bathing, and then also through inhalation of airborne contaminants emitted throughout all stages of the unconventional oil and gas life cycle, including production. And then when we think about exposure, it's important to think about the windows of vulnerability, those critical periods of development during gestation. The body undergoes rapid growth and development and differentiation in the first few years of life. The developing fetus is particularly sensitive to environmental factors, including air and water pollution. This time of rapid development creates windows of vulnerability to chemicals for infants and fetuses that can put them at risk for adverse health outcomes. In utero exposure. So let's talk a minute about in utero exposure. Maternal exposure to chemicals through the inhalation or ingestion of contaminated air, water, and foods can adversely affect developing fetuses. Most chemicals pass from the mother through the placenta and blood-brain barrier, and they can expose a developing fetus that way. Chemicals that can pass through the blood-brain barrier and placenta include heavy metals, and many persistent organic pollutants and lipophilic chemicals, including aromatic hydrocarbons such as BTEX. And evidence of exposure to environmental chemicals comes from finding chemicals in both the umbilical cord as well as the meconium and the amniotic fluid. Infants. Infants are also, we need to be thinking about infants and exposure. As a result of the mother's chemicals, mother's exposure to chemicals in the environment, an increasing amount of chemicals can be found in breast milk. Again, the exposure to chemicals via inhalation or ingestion of contaminated air and water can pass from the breast milk to the baby. And it's also important to remember that there's changes in absorption and metabolism during both pregnancy and lactation that can actually liberate the chemicals from the maternal fat and bone. Through fat mobilization and demineralization, then that way the infant can also get exposed. And then children. Children are, you know, also face increased exposures and greater absorption due to their rapid metabolism, reduced ability to detoxify compounds compared to adults. They eat more, drink more, and breathe more per unit of body weight compared to adults. And they also, when you think about these children when they're playing, they're so close to the ground. So they have the frequent hand-to-mouth behavior, and that exposes them to more chemicals in the soil and the dust. And then let's not forget about adolescence and prepubescence. So during this time, the ovaries and the testes are developing, and the primordial stem cells are at risk if potentially exposed to chemical contaminants, including radioactive materials. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about some of the unconventional and oil gas chemicals of concern. There are many. We could have focused on a whole lot, but we chose to focus on a subset. The ones that we've chosen to focus on are the following. Volatile organic compounds, including benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, xylene, particulate matter, ozone, nitrogen oxides, heavy metals, including arsenic, cadmium, and lead. And then I want to take a moment to talk about endocrine-disrupting chemicals, because many of the chemicals associated with unconventional and oil gas operations are endocrine-disrupting chemicals. So what are endocrine-disrupting chemicals? Endocrine-disrupting chemicals can interfere with hormone action in a number of ways. But the two most common ways are through binding to endogenous hormone receptors or altering endogenous hormone concentrations. And when this happens, the endocrine-disrupting chemicals activate or repress hormone synthesis and metabolism, and this can cause havoc in the human body. So perinatal exposure to endocrine-disrupting chemicals has been shown to cause permanent changes in the brain, in behavior, obesity, fertility, cancer, and other adverse health outcomes in laboratory animals. Studies have also reported, as it relates to reproduction and fertility, abnormal menstruation and high FSH serum levels in adolescent girls that were exposed to endocrine-disrupting chemicals during prenatal development. So we are concerned about endocrine-disrupting chemicals and the potential for their impacts. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about the actual potential developmental and reproductive health outcomes that could happen as a result of chemical exposures in communities living near unconventional oil and gas operations. This is based on literature exploring many of the same chemicals that are actually associated with unconventional oil operations and development. Okay, so let's talk about BTEX. Benzene, the B in BTEX, is one of the most commonly measured air pollutants associated with unconventional oil and gas development and is used in millions of gallons of fracking fluids every year. Benzene has been linked to reduced birth weight. It also has been shown to be linked to decreased head size, birth defects such as spina bifida, in studies evaluating mothers living in areas where benzene levels were high. Okay, particulate matter, nitrogen oxides, and ozone. In many studies, researchers have found associations between low birth weight and maternal exposure to particulate matter, nitrogen oxides, volatile organic compounds, and ozone from anthropogenic sources such as transportation and industrial activity. It's interesting to note, however, that most of these studies have often looked at these pollutants in isolation. And this is a consideration for unconventional oil and gas development since mothers are likely exposed to many of these pollutants at the same time, which means that there could be compounding effects. However, these pollutants have been linked in many studies over the past 10 to 15 years. And so where do they come from? Well, the sources are unconventional oil and gas development relies heavily on diesel-powered equipment and transportation, including these huge 18-wheelers that transport large quantities of water, sand, chemicals, and equipment. So many of these, particulate matter, nitrogen oxide, and ozone, are found and associated with the diesel exhaust and contribute to rising levels of air pollution. Okay, so now let's talk about heavy metals and miscarriage and stillbirth. Miscarriage and stillbirth are common disorders occurring in about 15 to 20% of human pregnancies, and can be usually it's believed to be caused by placental oxidative stress. And exposure to environmental contamination has also been linked to increased rates of miscarriage and stillbirth. So exposure to heavy metals, for example, lead, cadmium, and arsenic, during pregnancy is associated with increased risk of miscarriage and stillbirths. Heavy metals are routinely mobilized during hydraulic fracturing operations and have been shown to contaminate surface and groundwater. And also lead, for example, is also an inadvertent contaminant in fracking fluid. Ethylene glycol. So here's another chemical of concern. Ethylene glycol has been found in surface and groundwater near unconventional oil and gas sites. Studies have found that prenatal exposure to ethylene glycol may lead to reproductive damage, congenital birth defects, as well as intrauterine growth and death. And again, talking about BTEX again, has also been linked to menstrual cycle infertility. So, for example, toluene has been linked with a difficulty with conception, inability to conceive, as well as premature menopause in women. Women exposed to toluene at work have had more difficulty becoming pregnant than did their unexposed coworkers. And also, benzene and toluene measured in the breath were associated with hormone profiles of non-conceptive men's menstrual cycles. Okay, so now I'm going to talk briefly about the emerging literature. These studies are the ones that have directly investigated the links between unconventional oil and gas and health outcomes. And as you will see, there's very few studies to date. So a preliminary study done in 2012 by a doctorate student, she explored births in Pennsylvania and reported an increased prevalence of low birth weight and small for gestational age births, as well as reduced appearance, pulse, activity, and respiration, APGAR scores, in infants born to mothers living within 2.5 kilometers of a natural gas well. McKenzie et al. In 2014 also examined maternal proximity to natural gas wells in rural Colorado. And she looked into the incidence of congenital birth defects. Her study was a retrospective study looking at 124,862 births in rural Colorado. And she found an increased prevalence of congenital heart defects and neural tube defects. And other studies, as I mentioned before, have supported this possible association. Okay, so endocrine disrupting chemicals. As we talked about earlier, these researchers here assess endocrine disrupting activities of 24 fracking chemicals on 5 hormone receptors. And so, basically, long story short, it was found that there's definitely the potential for endocrine disrupting activity. Was it 1 minute or?
No, you're done.
You're done. Okay. All right, so I'll stop there, and if you guys have any questions, then
really quickly, that's great.
Oh, quickly. Okay, yeah. So I'll just quickly jump quickly to the conclusions, which is just basically that there are many unknowns about the long-term health effects, but clearly we need to be doing further research. And the major uncertainties are, for example, unknown frequency and duration of human exposure, future extent of development, potential emission control and mitigation strategies, and there's also a lack of baseline data to be able to do before and after comparisons. So overall, the current literature suggests that research needs to address these uncertainties before we can reasonably quantify the magnitude of adverse health outcomes. However, that being said, we know enough to know that there continues to be a dramatic expansion of unconventional oil and gas operations. There's spills, leaks, and discharges of wastewater. We know these chemicals are being found in the air and water, and that these chemicals have been directly linked with adverse reproductive and developmental health outcomes in laboratory studies as well as epidemiological studies. So I'll stop there. You can read the recommendations here.
Thank you.
Yes.